Look, I'm going to preach a little bit. Can I preach a little bit? I'm going to preach a little bit. I want to establish you. I know this is something I think we get. I think it's something we know. But through the last few weeks, I'm trying to lay down some things that are characteristic about us as a people. We're going to have an open house. But I want to tell you, in the open house series, thank you, Stephen. What are we about? Who are we? What are the core values that we have as a church? And it says in Hebrews 3:6, it says, but Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house, and we are his house. We are his house. And so we're asking people, come, it's an open house. We're saying, come and experience the house of God. Come and be introduced to the culture of our Heavenly Father. Come and experience what it is to see and experience the full blessing of God in the house of God. And we are God's house. Mark 1:37, we started with carrying mats. We are a people who carry mats. Impact people carry mats. That's what we do. In Mark chapter 1, he was left early, he went to pray. They didn't know where he went. They're looking for him. And I love this because the disciples said, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. Let me give you a prophetic word. You ready? Everyone is looking for Jesus. All over London today, all over southwestern Ontario today, everyone is looking for Jesus. And we got a responsibility to the house of God to open the doors, to bring the people in. And we want to remove every obstacle. We want to carry the mats. We want to help them. If their life is a mess and they're on a mat of affliction, we want to grab that mat. We want to bring them into a manifestation of the presence of God. At Impact Church, we carry mats. Mark 2:3, it says, and then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. We carry mats. Now, last week I showed you this interesting picture, and it's a picture where one door's closed and one door's open. The old covenant, it is obsolete. It's finished. That's not my words. That's what it says in Hebrew. It says it's done. It says when something is obsolete, it no longer has any power or authority. So you see, we've been brought into a new covenant. In the old covenant, you used to pray things. There's all kinds of prayers in the old covenant, but they are old covenant prayers. And in the old covenant, there was a lot of ifs and conditions. There's a whole lot of things that if we did this, God would do that. If you do this, God will do this. Everything shifted at the new covenant. Say old. Say new. What covenant do you live in, the old or the new? You need to know where you live. There's a lot of people living in mixture, and they're not getting results because they don't understand you are in a new covenant, and the new covenant has a new operating system. The new covenant has a new operating system. So we don't pray the ifs and buts. We are not beggars in the old covenant. In the old covenant, they begged and they pleaded, God, we'll stop sinning if you would please visit us. And there was always this conditional stuff. There was always this, we got to perform and then God would come. And it still permeates the mindsets of believers today that we think if we want the best of God, we got to give him the best of us. But you see, none of that really scales, because what God needs is he needs his holiness. He needs his righteousness. He said, be holy as I am holy. If we're going to come before him, you got to have a pure heart and clean hands. If you're going to come before God, there is a status that you must possess, which is the righteousness of God himself. And you, not one of you, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the old covenant beat you over the head. It had no power, no power. It had a lot of words. It had a lot of truth, but it had no power to save you, no power to deliver you, no power to qualify you to live in the presence of God. But Jesus came, and once and for all, he, the perfect man, was the perfect sacrifice. His perfect blood was shed so that you are declared perfect, not by works, but by faith alone. You are declared the perfect righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I threw all that out. The new covenant moves you from the realm of beggars to commanders. Commanders. What's a commander? A commander does not beg God to do something. A commander commands it to come into manifestation. So I don't want to go through the whole thing, but last week we taught you the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. When Philip went to Samaria, he preached the kingdom of God and, say and. He preached the kingdom of God and purple unicorns. No, he didn't. He preached the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. There's two things there that he taught. And the early church knew how to function in the name of Jesus. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They were thrown in jail for using the name of Jesus. They were commanded, stop using the name of Jesus. They understood their authority, their power in the name of Jesus. An impact church understands that we have authority and we know how to operate in it. We carry mats, we bring people to the presence of God, and in the name of Jesus, we command every form of darkness, every assignment of the devil, we command them free in Jesus' name. How am I doing? Okay, Charles Stanley said, if we don't pray, we serve no purpose in God's framework of eternity. Wow, that's a strong quote. No purpose. You didn't pray this week, you were purposeless. You had no eternal function. You didn't do anything eternal whatsoever. I mean, it's just Charles Stanley. He said it, but I agree. Prayer is just a beautiful holy trust. Prayer is the believer's vital breath. So here we are today. We praise on purpose. Can you say praise? We praise on purpose. All right, here it is. Come on, I'm going to go through this really, really fast. Can you say fast? Here's a picture of a guy. Who knows who that is? Who knows who that is? That's Wayne Gretzky. How many people know who Wayne Gretzky is? I used to work at the Memorial Center in Peterborough when I was a kid, and I was about the same age as Wayne, so I was parking cars, and I'd go watch the game, and I'd watch, and from Sault Ste. Marie, they had this kid on the team. He was like only 15 years old, just turning 16, but I tell you, every time he got the puck, everybody in the arena would move to the edge of the chair. Because you just never knew what he'd do. This kid was just unbelievable. What he could do with the puck and what he did. People had never had instincts ever to consider playing hockey that way. I mean, whoever thought of setting up behind the net to you know, do plays and do things? And nobody. Everything happens in front of the net. But Wayne Gretzky would go behind the net with the puck. And then he'd find people. He'd feed the puck out and people would score. And went, this is crazy. Who does that? But this guy was a prodigy. Say prodigy. This guy understood the game of hockey and took it to all different levels. Here's another picture right here. Anybody know who that guy is? What a cute baby, huh? That's Mozart. It is. It's Mozart. Mozart. You know, Mozart, when he was 5 years old, he wrote his first, what do you call those things? Symphony. Isn't that incredible? 5 years old, he wrote his first symphony. I mean, he's directing orchestras as a kid, doing incredible things. But we would call him a prodigy. A prodigy. What is a prodigy, Pastor? It's a person, especially a child or a young person, having extraordinary talent or ability. Extraordinary talent or ability. Matthew 21:16 says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. It's from Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. See, every one of you was created as a prodigy. Every one of you were created as a genius. God himself has created you, and he's given you a mouth, and he's given you a voice so that you, with your voice, you with your praise, can literally obliterate the enemies of God and the kingdom of darkness. You are a superstar at it. It is innate. It is built into you as a child to open your mouth and praise God and destroy the works of the devil. That's what it says right here in the Bible. It says that Psalm 149, 6 to 9. Let the high praises. That word high praises is T-E. T-E is high. T-E in the Hebrew is an intensifier. It's a prefix. T-E. And then it's philal. Hillel is praises, but philal is prophetic praise. So high and intense prophetic praise. High and intense God-inspired prophetic songs. So let the high, intense prophetic songs of God fill your mouth. Don't shout me down. Let them fill your mouth. Let a two-edged sword be in your hand to execute vengeance on the nations, punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and the nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This is the honor of all the saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, that's why we're called. We're not called to, not people groups. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but the enemies, the thrones, the dominions, the demonic things that are set up behind institutions. We are called to tear them down with our mouth. If you got a pulse and you got a mouth and you're a child of God, you have victory in every circumstance. Hey! Hey! That's what it says. Praise. Praise is not a Christian thing, it's a human thing. Everybody has it. We love concerts. We love singing. We love it. People love the praise. It's innately in you. Praise. There's something in you that just enjoys that. People pay thousands of dollars to go to Taylor Swift's things and let Taylor Swift lead you and stuff. Everybody sings along. Wee! Woo! Wee! Any Swifties in the house? Any Swifties in the house? Nobody willing to admit it, eh? Thousands of dollars on that stuff. I mean, we'll go see Beyonce, we'll go all kinds of stuff. I went and saw Bob Dylan a couple years ago, and it was awful. Bob was too old to be on stage. I was like, Lord, have mercy, Cheryl. And one guy actually stood up and said, this is awful. And people went, oh, shit. But I went, it's true. It's honestly. Anyways, God bless him. I do love Bob. Give it up for Bob. We are designed and we are world class. The question is, what do you worship? What do you praise? You know, I could get your checkbook. I could follow your bank account. I could find out where you spend your time and what you do. And I'd quickly find out what you praise, what you give yourself to, what you open your mouth to, and what you find is a worship. Psalm 34, 1-3, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at... I will bless the Lord at... I will bless the Lord at... I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in you. Lord, the humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. See, you can't magnify God. God fills everything in every way. God is transcendent. I mean, God is just fills everything. But we can magnify God in the face of circumstances. People could come in heavy with things going on in their life, and their circumstances are screaming at them. That's a time to say, let's magnify the Lord together. Let's make the Lord bigger than your circumstance. Let's introduce your circumstance to the greatness of God. Come and magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God changes you. It's your physical body. When you praise, you literally, you don't know it, but when you've been in here praising God, you leave here physically better. It's a true story. Physically, something shifts in your body when you praise God. Mentally, man, that's why I wore my glasses. Just wanted you to know I'm smart. Holy Ghost makes you smart. Holy Ghost makes me just brilliant. I don't know that glasses can make you smarter. I don't know that it can be improved upon here. It emotionally, it'll shift your whole attitude. Praise will rearrange your whole inner world. Who do you think designed it that way? The Almighty. Praising God and engaging religious practices can increase the production of dopamine, serotonin, and neurotransmitters that regulate mood and provide a sense of pleasure and dissatisfaction. That is a quote from you. It's a quote from a department that did a whole study on people who praised, people who sang to God, people who worshiped together. They did a study on them, and they found out that when these people do this, when they praise God, it regulates your mood and provides a sense of pleasure and satisfaction. Can I get an amen? How many were enjoying the worship time? We're going, yeah, I feel good. Hallelujah. I mean, some people are moody, but thank God praise can change your mood. Some people get too moody, and you're like, Lord Jesus. And you walk up and go, praise the Lord. They go, what are you doing? I'm just trying to change your mood. Praise will change your mood. This is scientific truth. It's studied by, psychologists and sociologists. They've done these big studies. I've even given you references for all of them, so you can go on the website and you can look at them yourself. A.B. Newberg, he said, worship and praise in their study involve focused attention and reflection, which engages the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that is responsible for decision-making, planning, and regulating social behavior. Literally, praising God will make you smart. Let all the dumb people say, praise the Lord. Wow, hey, ooh, yeah, hey. praising the Lord will change things. It'll help you. It'll help you reason better. It'll help you make decisions better. Praising the Lord is a good thing. Studies show that activities like corporate singing, prayer and worship activate and strengthen the limbic system, helping individuals regulate emotions better, fostering better emotions like joy, love, and peace. There is a significant reduction in depressive symptoms. Hey! Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Wow. Woo! We do that on purpose. We do that because we understand the meaning behind it. Another study said the default mode network, called your DMN, your default mode network is activated when people worship and praise. When this network is engaged, people find deeper meaning and purpose in life. There's deeper meaning, people have deeper purpose, there's more going on in people's lives who praise. People who make praise a determined thing that they do all the time, people who praise God all the time, things happen in their lives. Can I get an amen? It's kind of rough when I got my glasses on now, I can actually see you. Amen. So there's a whole bunch of references right here. They're there. See them all? They're all right there. I put them in there just for you. They're on the website. You can look them all up, but they're all right there. All scientific stuff. But let me turn to the Word of God. Let me turn to the Word of God. Psalm 137, 1-4. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. We hung our harps. We hung our harps. We took our harps and we hung them in the trees. We went to Babylon and yay, we sat down upon the willows and we wept in Babylon. For there those who carried us away captive, they asked us for a song. They said, hey, sing us one of them songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How can I sing the Lord's song in a strange place? How can I string the Lord's song when I'm in captivity? How can I sing the Lord's song when the women have been raped? How can I sing the Lord's song when many of my brothers have been castrated? How can I sing the Lord's song when Jerusalem is burned and ravaged and I've been taken away? How can I sing the Lord's song under this brutal rule and captivity? And how can I sing the Lord's song when I'm in such a dark and a miserable place? How can I sing? You have no idea what's going on in my life, Pastor. How can I sing? Don't hang your harp ever. Because you know what? God's not a destination. God's not here or there. He's now. And God is with you right now. God's not God in the light. God is also God in the darkness. God's not God when you're well. He's also God when you're sick. He's not God when things are going good. He's God when things are going bad. He's God in every single circumstance and situation in your life. God is there. God is mighty. God is powerful. God does not change based on your circumstances. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am God. I do not change. And even if you find yourself in the deepest, darkest place of your experience, right there is a really good place to get your harp out of the tree and start saying, praise the Lord, oh my soul. You got to praise the Lord on purpose, because God gave you praise to build things up and God gave you praise to tear things down. If you need something restored to your life, praise the Lord. If you need some stronghold broken in your life, praise the Lord. God gave you that weapon specifically to change everything in your world and bring the manifestation of God's kingdom, His power, and His love. Amen. Amen. Let's have a praise break right now. Let's have a praise break right now. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. Woo! Glory. Settle down. Some people can't praise because they got these attachments to their soul, and they let their soul get attached to their circumstances. They let their soul get attached to their personal disappointments. They get their soul get attached to insults. They let their soul get attached to contradictions in their life. How many have some contradictions? How many read your Bible and the Bible says, God is this for me, but I'm not experiencing this right now? How many of you expected something from God, but you feel like he's withholding? You feel like there's something going on. How many think it's a little weird when you're the people of God and you're there in the house of God? You got the temple of God. You got his presence. You got the Ark of the Covenant there. And suddenly a foreign nation comes and tears it all apart, and you get taken away brutally, captivated in another nation. How many think that is a massive contradiction? How many think that just blew my mind? And what does God say? He says, don't hang your harp in the tree. And what does God say? Jeremiah said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. That's where Jeremiah said that. Jeremiah said that to a group of people in vicious, horrible, brutal captivity. He said, don't you get sad. Don't you get downcast. You marry. You get involved. You plan. You sow. You bless wherever you are. Whatever circumstance you're in, I'm there. I'm not the God of this land and not that land. I'm the God of every land, every circumstance, every place, and every situation. And there he said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to bless you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So no matter where you are, that's not your destination, but that is a deep valley, that though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I'm coming through. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. It may not look that great right now, but I'm coming through. The story's not over, praise God. The story's not over, praise God. I'm coming through, and I'm coming through to God's promise, because his word never fails. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was going to be brief. Let me be brief. Psalm 42:5 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. He is my Savior, and he is my God. Sometimes you got to speak to your soul. Don't let moodiness take over your life. Don't be trapped in your own soulish, you know, connections to depressing circumstances. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off. Shake off those guilty snares in the name of Jesus. Hey, why are you so downcast? Habakkuk 3:17-19, the end of a chapter where Habakkuk was going, God, where are you? God, like, we've expected so much, and you know, you said you'd do this, and he's crying out, he's complaining to God. And God's saying, I love it, because God says, you know, it may not look good, but believe me, the Lord said to him, for my glory shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what he said to Habakkuk 2:14. So Habakkuk is like, now, Lord, in my day, make it known. I mean, God doesn't mind when you come to him and you bring those complaints, but here's how Habakkuk wrapped it up. Even though everything around me is failing, everywhere I go, the plants are failing, the crops are failing. There's no wine. There's no evidence of God's blessing. There's no demonstration of God in my world at all. And here's what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, like a hind's feet, and he will make me walk in the high hills. Hey! Hey! How many know what hind's feet are? Hind's feet, it's the rear feet of the hind. The rear feet of the hind step precisely in the same spot where the front feet have just been. These deer, these gazelles, they have an innate ability that their hind feet will go right exactly to where their front feet were. Wherever they put their front feet down, their hind feet go there specifically and clearly. They are sure-footed no matter what, no matter what terrain they're on, no matter if they're in a rocky crag, they can climb mountains, because wherever they put their front feet, their back feet are ordained to follow. And their hind feet follow specifically and clearly wherever their front feet went, their hind feet go, and they never ever falter. But no matter the situation, no matter what the environment, no matter what's going on, they can climb, they can climb, they can climb any mountain or any circumstance. They can climb, and they can experience the faithfulness of God. You see, that's what Habakkuk said. You have made my feet like hind's feet, and I'm going to be victorious in every circumstance. Does anybody know that all of this applies to you? All of this applies to you. This is all ours, all ours. You have to lean into your knowledge of who you are when you find yourself in a strange land, a dark place, or a painful trial. Don't let it dominate you. Don't let that circumstance overcome you. You could be in one right now, but don't let it dominate you. It doesn't matter what's going on. You could subject that to God. And you know how you do that? Praise the Lord. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, scientifically, it's proven it does. And biblically, it is declared that it is. God wants to know in every circumstance, what do you say? Your miracle is on your mouth. And when you open your mouth, and in any circumstance, you say, praise the Lord. I don't praise God for it. I don't praise God because a lot of stuff I'm not happy with. It's not like, I got a flat tire. Praise the Lord. Woo! Thank you for the... I'm not thanking Him for the flat tire, but I'm praising God that I don't give a rip. This flat tire isn't going to keep me down. Cheryl's going to get out and change it, and we'll be on the way soon. Amen. Just pray I don't get one this week. Amen. God, yes, God will break through. Yes, even there, even in every circumstance or situation. Hebrews 13:15, therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. You're not a captive, you're a conqueror. You're not a victim, you're a victor. You're not a wimp, you're a warrior. Hello. Acts 16:25-26, but at midnight, say midnight. Here's Paul, he gets beaten, and thank God, the worst thing the devil did was let him get thrown in jail with a friend. Amen. If you're going to get thrown in jail, make sure a friend goes with you. Amen. If I get thrown in jail, just break a window somewhere and say, put me in with him. Who'd do that for me? Who'd do that for me? Thank you, Joey. What's the matter with the rest of you? You got a half a hand there? Yeah. Because I tell you, when you got a partner, anybody agreeing on anything on earth, when you praise the Lord, you have what you pray for. Yeah, that's why it's wonderful being married. I got a wife who prays with me. We command things. Rawr. I tell you, we're not victims. We're victorious in every single situation. But at midnight, the darkest place of the evening, you're whipped. You're in shackles. You're in the deepest, darkest place. You can't even, there's no light. There's no nothing. There's just the two of you bleeding and rats chewing on your open flesh. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, brother? What are you going to do? What are you going to do in the dark dungeon, the deep, ugly space? What are you going to do at midnight? Praise the Lord. What'd they do? They started to pray. They started to sing hymns. They started to declare the glory of God. And it says everybody else could hear them. And suddenly, say suddenly. Man, some people quit just before the suddenly. Say, there's a miracle. There's something right there. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you stop praising God. Continually, I will praise Him continually. His word will be in my mouth continually. I will magnify the Lord in every situation because I am condemned to victory. I am condemned to breakthrough. I am condemned to conquering in every single circumstance. That's the truth. There he was singing hymns to God, praying, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everybody's chains were loosed. We're not talking about just Paul and Silas. Everybody. Everybody was set free. Who in your world is waiting to be broken into freedom because you just won't sing? Who in your world needs a breakthrough, but your mouth is shut on the situation? Hey, we got to praise. That's why I love coming in here. There's sometimes I come in and, you know, I got a little heaviness, but boy, I get in here, you people shouting at me, praise the Lord. I'm like, let everything. Hey. Matthew 26. Look at this. Matthew 26:30. Can I get somebody on the keyboard? Can I get somebody on the keyboard? Preferably somebody who can play the keyboard. There we go. Give it up for Giovanna. Matthew 26:30. Listen, you know what I did? I plain forgot to take up the offering. Did you know that? So there's going to be buckets when you go out the door. Drop it in the buckets. Add a zero before you do. Add a zero and drop it in the buckets. Let it be the best offering ever that Pastor Carl did not take. Amen? Amen? Come on. All right, so they're going to have buckets. There you go. Thanks, ushers. You guys are the best. So we'll have buckets at the door. If you don't put anything in the bucket, you have to stay until next Sunday. All right, so. Then they sang a hymn. Here they are, Jesus. This is in the upper room. This is the Last Supper. And here's Jesus. And he's been telling them about a new covenant. He's been telling them about what's going to go on. And Jesus there in the upper room. In the upper room, he's got John, his beloved, beside him. And he's got Judas on the other side. He's feeding John. And he's feeding Judas. And he knew Judas would betray him. Right. betrayed, he took the cup and he took the bread and he ate with them, and he was feeding Judas and he was feeding John. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be feeding my enemy when I had that kind of knowledge. But he was. He's feeding Judas, and he turned to Judas and he said, "What you're about to do, go and do quickly." This is what was going on. And they just finished the Passover meal together. They just finished that whole meal with the lamb, and they went through the whole exercise of the Passover. But there they had participated in a lamb. But now the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God was walking out of that room, walking out of that type, walking out of the tradition. And the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the whole world, is just about to go. And he knows, because he said, "Father, if there's a way, take this cup from me. If there's a way, Father, is there another way to do this?" But he said, "Yet, Lord, not my will, but your will be done." He knew exactly what was going on. But you know what? Here's what it says in Matthew 26:30. It says, then, what was then? Then, when he was there, knowing that my life would be taken, knowing that I'd be torn open from head to toe, knowing that the divine blood of God would flow out of me, knowing that I would be insulted and beaten and bruised, knowing all of those things, he sang. Knowing what was before him, he sang. Even though it wasn't going to be a good day for him, it was a good Friday for us, because he took away the sins of the whole world. But you know, it says they sang a hymn and they went then to the Mount of Olives. Jesus wrapping up the Last Supper, the Passover meal. Jesus heading to redeem the cosmos. What did he sing? What did he sing? What did he sing? What did he sing? Don't you want to know what he sang? Well, I'm going to tell you what he sang. And it is what he sang. It's exactly what he sang. Because these are the psalms that you sing when you're doing a Seder meal. These are the songs that you sing during the progression. And in the fourth cup of wine, in the progression of the Passover meal, they would wrap everything up with this song. And it's psalms. It's the Hallel psalms. During the Passover, they sang traditionally the Hallel psalms, 113 to 118. And the last of the psalms is Psalm 118. And Jesus, before he headed towards the cross as the Lamb of God, bearing the sin of the whole world, this is what he sang. You ready? Here's what it said. Here's what it says in just one little part of it. The psalm is fantastic, but here's what came out of Jesus' lips. You ready? Right here. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You think you got a dark moment in front of you. You think you're facing a difficulty. You think something hard is before you. On the night that he was betrayed, on the night that he was beaten, on the night that he was worn open and then taken to the cross and hung openly for the sin and the shame of all mankind, before he did that, Jesus sang, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Hey! Praise is your key to breakthrough. The solution to your problem is in your mouth. Praise overcomes your preferences. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.